We're going to pause for a few minutes here, gather together, and take a look at the book of Revelations on a weekend where we'll be celebrating the freedom that we enjoy in this nation. And I get done recording this, I'm going to go hang up my red, white, and blue and stick out the flags. And sometimes I think I'm a little over at the top with that. But the truth is, God's gave you and I an amazing amount of freedom in the nation we live in to make a lot of choices. And as we look into the book of Revelations, God's offering a choice to people there to come into his kingdom and be united with him. And I'm hoping and praying that there's folks that will make a decision like that this weekend. So I wrote this message for July 3rd of 2022. I entitled the message, "The Messages of the Three Angels," and I took it from Revelation 14, 6 to 11. Point one, the first angel's message. Point two, the second angel's message. Point three, the third angel's message. And point four, the message to God's people. Sometimes it's a struggle to come up with an outline, but this section of scripture was really simple. We got the first angel, the second angel, the third angel, and then in conclusion, God speaks directly to you and I. God sent extraordinary warnings, including this final one, during the final crisis leading up to the second coming of Christ. The truth is, he's warned people all the way along. God has sent his message of warning throughout the church age. And through the preaching of the church, the Lord gives the warning to an unrepentant world. And I guess I'm one of those preacher boys that is warning folks that this judgment day, this return of Christ is coming, and there may be one more shot that you have of changing your allegiance from the dark side to the light side. I'm just one of many that see this event as a final worldwide appeal to people to recognize the one true God. No one will ever have the excuse of never hearing God's truth. We also see in this section of scripture an announcement of judgment. This is the scene in God's grand drama where the people of the world have their last chance to proclaim their allegiance to God. And now God's great judgment is about to begin. Here's questions for you. Have you received the everlasting good news? Have you, in a personal way, accepted the offer of God's amazing gospel? Have you confessed your sins and trusted Christ to save you? Have you done that? Have you changed your allegiance from the way you were born to being born again? If this is true for you, then you've got nothing to worry about, nothing to fear from God's judgment. The judge of all the earth is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our text, I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Revelations 14, 6 to 13. And it goes like this. I saw another angel. He was flying high in the air. He came to tell everyone on earth the good news that will always be true. He told it to every nation, tribe, language, and people. In a loud voice, he said, "Have respect for God. Give him glory. The hour has come for God to judge. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth. Worship him who made the sea and the springs of water." A second angel followed him, said, "Fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. The city of Babylon made all the nations drink the strong wine of her terrible sins." A third angel followed them. He said in a loud voice, "Watch out, all you who worship the beast and his statue. Watch out, all you who have the mark on your foreheads and on your hand. You too will drink the wine of God's great anger. His wine has been poured full strength into a cup of his anger. You will be burned with flaming sulfur. The holy angels and the Lamb will see it happen. The smoke of your terrible suffering will rise forever and ever. Day and night, there will be no rest for you who worship the beast and his statue. There is no rest for you who receive the mark of his name. God's people need to be very patient. They are the ones who obey God's commands. They remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard the voice from heaven. Write this, it said. Blessed are the dead who die believers in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Holy Spirit, they will rest from their labor. What they have done will not be forgotten. The end. The announcement of these three angelic beings, because of their similarity and pattern, these three episodes belong together as a single event of symbolic history. This symbolic history is the sixth out of the seven that we've been looking at in Revelations. We will look into the seventh event of the symbolic history, which includes the appearing of the Son of Man next week in Revelations 14:14. So point one on your outline, the first angel's message. The first angel calls everyone to repent, those in every nation, tribe, language, and people. I saw another angel. He was flying high in the air. I was curious about this flying high in the air and did a little research, and it's literally in that language midair, or what we would call high noon. When the sun is at the highest point at noon, that's the position of these angels flying. In a loud voice, the angel said, A on your outline, he told everyone good news that is always true. So A on your outline, he told everyone the good news that is always true. And your two blanks are good news. He told it to every nation, tribe, language, and people. The angel told it to everyone in their own language. Let's stop here for a moment and connect some dots. This message that reaches all nations is a fulfilling of a promise made to Abraham that all peoples would be blessed is now fulfilled. God made that promise in Genesis 12:3, and now in Revelations 14:6, it's come true. But all nations will be blessed because of the Savior that came through the line of Abraham. With the blessing also was a curse. To those who curse Abraham, here is God's grand drama is fulfilled in the last James. This curse falls on those who do not repent in response to the gospel. In other parts of Revelation, it makes it clear that gospel involves turning to Christ. In many places, that's what we focused on, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, the focus is on worshiping and fearing God, which is a little different. The chief sin of the nations is their refusal to worship the one who has created them and sustained him. Oftentimes in our culture, people say, it's no big deal whether you believe creation or whether you believe evolution. But the reality is, those who don't believe in creation and the creator that sustains them are in a very dangerous place. B on your outline, have respect for God. B, have respect for God. And the blank is respect. The hour has come for God to judge. Respect God for his love, compassion, mercy, and grace, as well as his power. So the word respect in the NIV Reader's Version is a little bit different than some other translations. The coming of the gospel was not to create guilt. People were already guilty for rebelling against God. The gospel shows the way of escape by returning to God before it's too late. C on your outline, give him glory. There's an easy one. Give him glory. And your blank is glory. So think about it. How could one do this? How could one give glory to God? I mean, he has everything. How could we give him anything? But we're challenged to give him glory in our lives. So, fear God and give him glory is what it says in the King James Version. Fear God and give him glory is what it says in the Message Translation. Fear God and give him glory is what it says in the New American Standard Version. Fear God and give him glory is what it says in the NIV Version. And if all these translate this scripture the same, then what should we do? If all those translations say, fear God and give him glory, what should we do with that? In my outline, I picked the NIV Reader's Version that said, respect God. But in this one, it's overwhelming in the translations. It's fear God and give him glory. Fear God, not Satan or the Antichrist. This is the theme of scriptures. Don't be afraid of the bad guys. I'm calling people to give honor, glory, and worship, and reverence to God. If you haven't got that so far, that's the point. I'm calling people, challenging people, hoping to inspire people to give honor to God, give glory to God, and humbly worship and live in reverence to this God. I often wonder if the church of today has somehow misplaced this fear of God. Sometimes as I see what's going on, I'm challenged and wonder, what happened to this awesome fear of God? What do you think? Do you hear many preacher boys like me saying, fear God? I don't hear many other people saying that. It appears to me that the church of today is more focused on God's love, which is good. His grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his salvation. And not so much on fear of God. If you stop and think about it, that's what most of the messages you'll hear. God loves you, which is true. His amazing grace, that's great. He has mercy. He forgives sins. And most people talk a lot about salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. But not many do the fire and brimstone fear of God messages that historically have been powerful in the church. Wonder why. My hope, my prayer is that our study of Revelation will inspire us to regain and then maintain an attitude of awesomeness and the necessity of fear of God. I think that's something that would be really good for us to consider reawakening in our lives. We could worship him who made the heavens and the earth. Worship him who made the seawater and the springs of water. We could worship our Creator. D on your outline. Worship God our Creator. Worship God our Creator. And your blank is worship. When one stands alone or lays alone and looks at the stars in a clear summer night, it seems impossible for me not to worship our Creator. If you're laying there waiting for the fireworks to start and the stars are shining bright, it's so big, vast. It's hard not to be overwhelmed with the awesomeness of the creation of our God. Worship the maker of heaven and earth, salt water and fresh water. Not creation, but the Creator. Do you see the difference? Don't worship the creation, but its Creator. Nature, the wonder, the beauty of this earth, even though it's fallen, is really, really cool. And people can get all entangled and distracted from the creator to the creation. There are usually three parts to the universe. Normally we have heaven, dry land, and sea. These become four parts when one distinguishes salt water from fresh water. These four parts of the universe receive judgments in the first four trumpets. In Revelations 8, 7 to 14, we looked at the first four trumpets, and these aspects of creation received their judgment. And in the first four bowls of Revelations in 16, 1 to 9, we again will be reminded of God's judgment on these four elements of creation. The mention of four parts here is a reminder of the fierceness and judgment of God's people that rebel. So the four parts here remind us of the fierceness of God's judgment against the rebels, those who rebel against him. Point two on our outline is the second angel's message. And another angel, a second one, followed saying, A, fallen is Babylon the Great. A on your outline. Fallen is Babylon the Great. And your blank is fallen. Babylon was both the name of an evil city and an immoral empire, a world center for idol worship that focused mostly on sexual immorality. The second angel announces the fall of Babylon, who seduces the nations. The main center of false worship has fallen. So the center of this idolatry is destroyed here in Revelations. God makes it clear that anyone who takes the mark of the beast is declaring their opposition to God. Anyone who takes the mark is drawing a line and saying, I've crossed to that side. All who take the mark of the beast are lost. They're lost. The act of accepting the beast's image declares they are not believers. By that action, they declare that they do not believe in God. The ones who worship the beast accept the mark and are operating according to his world economic system will ultimately face God's judgment. The bottom line is they will face God's judgment. Our world values money, power, pleasure over God's leadership. The world we live in, people worship money, power, and pleasure more than they do God and his guidelines for life. To get what the world values, many people disown God and violate Christian principles. Many people who start out as believers will deny that to gain money, power, and pleasure. The message is, in effect, turn to the true worship before it's too late. I tried to boil it down. That's it. Turn to the true worship before it's too late. Before it's too late, change your allegiance. Be on your outline. She has made all nations drink her wine of passion and immorality. Be on your outline. She has made all nations drink her wine of passion and immorality. And passion, immorality are your two blanks. She seduces people to commit adulteries. Sexual immorality, like idolatry, which is spiritual adultery, was a major temptation for the seven churches of John's day. And I don't think that has changed in the world we live in. When you look at how many people define their whole being by their sexual preference, and most times it's outside of the guidelines of what the Bible says is good, right, and pure, it's easy to see that there are a significant number of people in our culture who have been seduced by this Babylon's immoral idolatry. We looked at that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. So we looked at the first angel, the second angel. Let's take a peek at the third angel's message. This third angel comes with bad news and unbelievable bad times for unbelievers. So this third angel's the one who brings the hammer. Burning sulfur is a nasty fire. Burning sulfur that these people are going to suffer in forever and ever is a terrible thing. I was thinking in the U.S. Army, we have these rounds that are called incendiary rounds or illumination rounds. And you could fire those into the darkness and they would burst high up and light the battlefield much better than daylight for a little bit. And in every infantry squad, like I was in with seven people, there were two individuals designated to carry incendiary grenades. So we had two of those in every squad. And when you pull the pin on that and throw it into something, it is white hot, and there is not any chance that things are not going to burst into fire. It is that hot. Now think about this. This time of the year, tomorrow, July 4th, is my half birthday. People will shoot off fireworks into the sky. It's really nice for my half birthday, the big celebrations people put on. The bright white fireworks that you can hardly look at is sulfur and white phosphorus. That's how they make that bright white of those fireworks. That's the fire the unbelievers will suffer. They will suffer fire like that bright white heat we see in the sky. And remember, there's no death. There's no escape. If you end up in that place, in that suffering, it does not end. There is no escape. There is no relief. The third angel said in a loud voice, "Watch out, all who worship the beast and his statue." Hey, watch out, all who worship the beast and his statue. And your blank is worship. You too will drink the wine of God's anger. His wine has been poured full strength into a cup of his anger. Be on your outline. Watch out, all who have the mark on the forehead or on your hand. Be, watch out, all who have the mark on your forehead or your hand. And the blank that I put in was mark. You will be burned with flaming sulfur. The holy angels and the Lamb will see it happen. And we will be there with the Lamb to watch that. Not a pretty picture. The third angel elaborates on the fearsome judgment that comes upon unrepentant and the followers of the beast. This threat is simultaneously an encouragement to the saints. So it's a threat to the unbelievers, but to us believers, it's an encouragement of our salvation. It encourages them to hold fast under intense suffering. When you imagine and take a look at what the unbelievers are about to face, what they're about to experience, that's an encouragement for you and I, a cheerleader to keep us focused on our faith in Christ. Their suffering is a little in comparison to the wrath of God. That also shows the ultimate vindication that will come. Ultimately, God will be vindicated. Judgment will rule. The Christian faith, which seems so small and puny to the world, will be shown to be true. And the worshipers of the beast, who seem so secure because of the Roman Empire, will find all their false hopes come to nothing. And I copied that out of my study Bible. Truth is, many people find this faith in Jesus Christ puny in comparison to what the world offers. And like those in that century with the Roman Empire, we have government issues that challenge us to look away from our Christian faith and worship the government. So we had the angel's message, the first angel, second angel, the third angel. Now, point four, the message of God's people. In the New Testament is the gospel of God, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, the glorious gospel of peace, and the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we see in the New Testament. There's this gospel of God that involves grace and his son Jesus Christ that brings peace and forgiveness, and most importantly, teaches us about living in this kingdom. Not just in Revelation time when we're in heaven, but today, in our day. The whole world will hear the preaching by the angel as God graciously calls all to salvation. He gives them one last shot, and does it in a grand way that nobody can miss it. A on your outline, God's people need to be patient. A, God's people need to be very patient. And your blank is patient. God is going to make all things right. He will. We just need to be patient and wait for it. Just like John told the believers in the seven churches, we need to be patient. When you and I started the book of Revelations, and the first chapters were to the seven churches, the consistent message John gave those believers was to be patient, to stay faithful, to finish well. We just need to be patient. Be on the outline. God's people are to the ones who obey God's commands. God's people are the ones who obey God's commands. And the blank is obey. We obey out of love for God. In the midst of all of this power, in the midst of all of this judgment, in the midst of all of this wrath, that's not why you obey, because you're scared of that. You obey because of the great love he has lavished out on you. See on your outline, God's people need to remain faithful to Jesus. God's people need to remain faithful to Jesus. And your two blanks are remain faithful. We are to keep the faith regardless of our circumstances. Over and over, we've seen John write to the churches and the believers, it is the one who stays faithful to the end that receives these rewards. So it's not how well you start out, it's how well you finish. And many Christians on the planet today should take a good look at where they are in their running. Where are they? Will they finish well? Here's my conclusion. The first angel is preaching the good news concerning everlasting life and entrance into God's kingdom. We also should be sharing the good news today. That angel will do it in a grand way, but each of us should be sharing the good news today, the best we can. It is good news that God saves by forgiveness of sins and opens his kingdom to all who repent and believe. That's good news. People can be delivered, saved by God's great love and his amazing forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. If one will repent and believe in the one and only Jesus Christ, the Savior of us all. The angel is urging people of the world to change their allegiance from the beast to the Lamb of God. We also should be encouraging lost souls to change their allegiance from this world to the one true God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so delighted and thankful that you give us this book of Revelations so we can see what's coming. We can maybe regain our foothold in reverence and fear of you and reignite our passion for sharing the good news with others while there's still a chance. And for each of us, may we stay focused and stay faithful in our Lord Jesus Christ until he either calls us home or returns. We pray in his name. Amen.
of the God of ages, welcome to your brand new day. Leave the world and all its trappings, come into amazing grace. Let go your every fear, there is only mercy here. Come to Jesus, hope that freezes, life that breathes in us. Come to Jesus and believe that He is love. Oh, more. These are